Hello to members of Faith Cumberland Presbyterian Church in America. This is Pastor Tony. I am trusting all is well with you and your joy of Christ grows deeper by the day. We serve a merciful God who loves us unconditionally and with no respect of persons, whether rich or poor. All praises unto Almighty God. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ our Lord. We are a new creation by water and the word. From heaven he came and taught us what perfect love can be. Through life and death he sought us and rose to set us free. The church in every nation is one through all the earth. Our charter of salvation, one God, one faith, one birth, one name together blessing, one holy food we share. To one hope ever pressing, at one in work and prayer. Happy anniversary, Faith Cumberland Presbyterian Church in America. What we need today is the resonating voice of the church to speak to the issues that afflict our nation. Where is the church's voice when injustice strikes, followed by rioting, destruction, and death? When civil rebellion quiets down, it's business as usual until another situation erupts. Who is better to minister to the victims of evil than the church? Understood, churches are not the political arm that commands influence like an activist. Even so, the church commands much power when the saints cry to God in times of distress. The church commands power when the saints intercede for the leaders responsible for keeping the peace for an entire nation. Consider this, if Jesus was with us today, he would employ the church to respond to the issues in our nation. Jesus said to Peter, "Upon this rock I shall build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail." Every church know they owe their perseverance to Jesus Christ, the head of the church. Who is the church? Our scripture lesson shines the light on a specific church that has proven to be formidable and ready to fulfill her mission in evangelizing the world. If this church was situated in our place and time, there would be a dramatic victory for righteousness over evil. Our text is found in Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches, of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order, and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." Amen. Consider this subject for meditation, the spiritually alive church. We will discuss the meaning of church. What is the church? The church is not a building. The church is a group of people called the saints. We are citizens of God's kingdom and members of his household. The church is a living organism, the very body of Christ. God cares deeply for the church. What does the church do? Primarily, the church spreads the gospel. The church is tasked to make new disciples. The church equips people to do God's work and to build up the church. The church is also a place of refuge, to steal away from the burdens of life, to be alone with God. Everybody has a role in the church. and each believer has a significant contribution to make. For many, church life is the highlight of their life. Over the years, we worship, sing, and praise God each week. We observed God working mightily in our midst. We have grown in the faith. Prayers have been answered, and we are compelled to keep praying. For many people, church life is in their DNA. Church life is not always a bed of roses. There are many challenges. The reality of aging forces us to alter the way we live. Are you spiritually alive? What kind of church do we have here at Faith Cumberland Presbyterian Church in America? The answer is simple. Whoever you are, multiply by the number of us who are actively practicing faith, multiplied by our faithfulness, giving, and service. We are either an asset or a liability. Recognize that this church stands out with everything around her because this church is situated in a wilderness. In a spiritual sense, the world is a harsh wilderness, a desolate area where devils congregate who devour anyone they can. The wilderness is void of godliness, and God is openly scorned. In every place, evil prevails. But this wilderness is the very highways and byways that Jesus told us to go out and compel all souls to come in. Will anyone come in to Faith Cumberland if there are no signs of life? People need an oasis when going through a wilderness. An oasis is a small, fertile area having a water spring or well. An oasis is a place with an abundance of living water that weary travelers can be revived. Without water, you will die. God, in His mercy, called the church to be an oasis of salvation. Anyone in the wilderness can enter into an oasis of life and be restored in Christ. This oasis in the wilderness is the church. Faith Cumberland, you are to be an oasis of salvation in this wicked world. The church must be a salvation center to save the lost, heal the sin-stricken, and reconcile dying souls to God. The oasis of salvation is the place where sinners meet God through the power of the Holy Spirit, preaching, and the testimony of the saints. In a word, our church is a developing, maturing church that is striving to be the spiritually alive church. In our text, Paul is proud of the Colossian church. They are well known throughout the region. The church at Colossae shows the mark of the spiritually alive church. Sinners were being saved as they responded to the Spirit-filled preaching of the gospel. Saints were imitating Christ in their daily walk. Paul is proud of this church for three reasons. First, the church had a good testimony. The truth of God was confirmed in those repenting of sin unto salvation, and saints were being transformed by the truth of Jesus. The Colossian church was spiritually alive. What is your testimony as it relates to Faith Cumberland? Is the truth of Christ manifesting in your daily life? How has your life changed for the better? Faith Cumberland was built on a rock of faith in Christ. Only Christ, who was crucified, dead, and resurrected, can be the life source of the spiritually alive church. How does Faith Cumberland match up with the Colossian church? What do we need at Faith Cumberland for God to be proud of us as He was with the Colossians? Three considerations. First, the church is spiritually alive when the focus and motivation of ministry is to imitate Jesus' life. Jesus ministered to every soul He came upon. Jesus taught everyone the truth of faith, godliness, prayer, and God's kingdom. God's mystery is the Spirit of Christ living within you. Christ reveals God to man, giving believers total access to the Father. In Christ, we have everything we need to excel in godliness. The spiritually alive church is more than an organization. It is the breathing organism that comprises the corporate body of Christ. The body of Christ is comprised of all saints. The most powerful witness God employs to expound on the truth of Christ are the saints themselves. Saints are the proof their lives are forever changed and transformed. Saints are God's witnesses of salvation. Apostle Paul teaches this spiritual fact when he says, "Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." Believers are new creatures who are laying down the old sinful ways of getting ahead in life. Believers testify of their new life in Christ. God utilizes saints to transform church members into believing congregations to become the spiritually alive church. Second, the church stays spiritually alive when the pulpit message announces and magnifies Christ. No other deserves focus or to be imitated except Christ. By Christ are all men saved. The church must stay on point. Jesus Christ, our Savior, Lord, High Priest, and King. The church faces constant pressure to compromise God's truth on which the foundation of the church is built. When Christ is not the primary focus of our congregation, instead of being the spiritually alive church, we will indeed be a spiritually dead church. The only hope we have to mature in faith is to live a life worthy of disciples of Christ. We are rooted in Christ insofar as we practice life as He did. If we fail to live by our faith, we will live as though we are in the dark and not in the truth of Christ. Satan, the father of lies, is an avowed enemy of God and the church. How does Satan bring about the destruction of the church? Satan influences our thinking. Satan wants the church to think like the world. Saints are to put on the mind of Christ. The saints' minds are to be shaped and influenced by the principles of faith, not the world. Satan influences our customs. Satan wants the church to indulge in the same things the world does. Satan does not always tempt us to do the obvious acts of sin. He compels us to go with the flow in the ways of the world. Satan influences our beliefs. Satan wants the church to believe God is angry and slow to forgive. Satan wants the church to believe God's favor and blessings must be earned. This is the devil's lie. Third, the church stays spiritually alive when traditions of faith and holy doctrines are defended and upheld. The devil, the father of lies, wages wars against Christ and the saints. The saints are to defend the church against false teachings. Paul didn't write his Colossian epistle to simply build up the saints' egos. The Colossian church would be an occasion for the devil to sow chaos, and Paul knew the devil was on the prowl. Paul is afraid. The gravest challenge for the church is our relations with the world. We are in the world, but not of the world. In all aspects of life, we are tempted to backslide. The church is God's offensive weapon in the earth. The saints contend daily with evil forces and wickedness. Spiritual warfare is a daily affair for the church as she strives to stay spiritually relevant in a godless world. God expects the church to labor in the thickest of enemy territory. We live in a society where customs, philosophies, and beliefs become our identity. The devil aims to saturate the church with his lies to corrupt the teachings of Christ. Make no mistake, the church is at war with the devil. The mission of the church is to defend the faith against every spiritual assault erupting against God's knowledge through ungodly customs and beliefs. God's word must remain the sole source of our divine guidance by which we abide in word and deed. Faith Cumberland will continue to grow and mature so long as we remain true to God's word as the sole source and authority of our faith. By doing so, Faith Cumberland will be the spiritually alive church. In conclusion, we are the church God created to fulfill His will in the earth. As the hymn says, the church has one foundation, Jesus Christ. Faith Cumberland now has 43 years of spiritual history, but the mission is not done. We must remain faithful to be the spiritually alive church. If angels were to write a church report for God about Faith Cumberland, will the report mention the members of faith are striving to be like Christ? Will the report mention the church is anchored in the preaching and teaching of the gospel of Jesus? Will the report say anything about the saints' outpouring love and devotion to one another? After God reads this report, will Faith Cumberland give God a sense of pride and jubilation, or will God be disappointed? This goes to the heart of your contribution to the building of Faith Cumberland. Paul says, I laid a foundation, and another man is building upon it. Let each man take care how he builds upon it. Saints, how are you building upon the foundation of Faith Cumberland Presbyterian Church in America? God bless you all.